Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Book Publicity Podcast Series. My name is Annie Jennings, and I'm the founder of the national firm, Annie Jennings PR. We are a cutting-edge PR firm. Our fingers are on the pulse of the latest in the advanced PR thought. Our strategies are the finest, top of the line, and we're experts in book publicity, book promotion, marketing, radio, TV, print, and internet publicity. We have a wonderful topic today, do's and don'ts for contacting a producer. This is part of a series on getting booked on your local TV show or getting booked on your first TV appearance. Lots of things, lots of tips available for you in our two previous podcasts that are available, creating a positive physical appearance for TV, and local TV media etiquette and pointers for a successful segment. Today's segment, though, is the do's and don'ts for contacting your producer, your local TV producer. And with us is our firm's local, regional, and national TV publicist, Maria Rose, who is a former national TV producer herself, right? So you're getting this straight from a very high experience level, and her resume is packed with experience on working some of the most sought-after major TV shows in the country today. So welcome, Maria, and would you like to tell us a little bit more about your experience in working in TV?
Sure, thank you very much. My background is in TV production. I started off at ESPN, the sports channel in Connecticut, and I worked at CBS News in Chicago, and then spent about 4 years working, helping to produce the Oprah Winfrey Show in Chicago. That was just an amazing experience.
Oh, yeah,
and,
wonderful.
And then I worked on a lot of reality shows, some core TV, some entertainment shows, some daytime TV, and just really run the gamut of television production. So I feel like I have a really varied background as it relates to TV.
Right, and you know why I think that's important is because, you know, I believe in experience over theory. Mm-hmm. All right, what should work and what does work can be two different things, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So we have our book smarts and we have our real world experience smarts. And it's the real world experience smarts that certainly you can combine with your book smarts or your theory, but really what goes on in the real world is what matters, and what Maria can bring us is what's happening out there in TV land today. So what we're going to ask her today is do's and don'ts for contacting the producer. As you know, Maria is the producer, has been for many, many years on various shows, and she is about to give us some of the do's and don'ts that will make or break you as a local TV guest. So, Maria, would you like to get started?
Sure. I think, you know, when we talk about contacting producers, obviously it's something that's a little bit uncomfortable for most people because that's not your job. Your job is to be an expert or to be an author or to do whatever you do on a 9-to-5 basis. But if you want to take it into your own hands, here's the very first thing I'll tell you. Don't call them first thing in the morning. I mean, just like anybody else, do you like to get to your desk at 9 o'clock and see the phone ringing? If you're gonna let go of the voicemail because you want to get a cup of coffee, you want to settle in.
Sure, you have to get set up. It's a time management technique as well. You can't be drawn off your day immediately, right at 9.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. And they're rushed. They're going. They're opening their emails. And it's just not the best time. You know, and be aware of the time zone you're calling. So if you're calling, mm-hmm. Well, you say, well, it's noon here, but if you're calling L.A., it's 9 o'clock there.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
So just be aware of that.
Right. I know you were speaking earlier about knowing when the show actually airs, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. That's a key thing, too, especially if you're dealing with a show that has live tapings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never call during a live taping. And that's usually easy enough to figure out by going to their website, because they usually have information for audience members or guests on the website, so you can get that there. But another thing, if you're calling, especially in your local area, you're, say, a news station, and you want to talk to the noon show producer, well, more likely than not, if somebody's noon show producer, once that show is over, they have to stick around for a little bit longer to wrap up the show, but they're probably out of there by 1 o'clock. So, you know, you don't call them at 3 because they're not there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You also don't call them at noon because they're producing a show. Or
right.
At 11.
Or 11. What about 11?
I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I think probably the best time, especially for a news producer, mm-hmm. the best time to call is right after, well, maybe give it 20 minutes or so after their show ends. They're wrapping up, they're preparing for tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
they're not as stressed,
Right,
That's definitely the best.
That's
help.
Right. Tomorrow's another day, so right now they're in the relaxed mode.
Exactly.
That's a good idea. I like that a lot. You know, we were speaking earlier, and you mentioned that for a morning show, the shift can really begin in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. I mean, for a morning show that ends, say, at 10 o'clock, that shift might start at 3.
Wow.
So, if you call them at 8, they're halfway through their day. They're maybe having lunch. You have to just be aware of where they are in their day.
Well, that brings me to something else, also, is that when you call them, you really want to know what you want to say, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us.
Exactly.
What would be the perfect phone call?
The perfect phone call is short and concise.
You won the lottery.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to know, first of all, you need a reason for calling. Mm-hmm. Not just, I have a book and I want you to put it on the show.
Right.
That's
like makes them furious.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
You have a book? Haven't you read any of the PR 101 books?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the book you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you're pitching them ideas. You're pitching them what you can do for their audience, how you can help them. That's really how you look at it. I can help you by this, that, and the other way. Or I can help your audience learn this or that. So that's the main thing. If you don't have it memorized, that's okay, but at least have it written down. Because you get nervous, you stammer, and they just don't have time for it.
Well, sure, they don't have time for it, and they really don't want like you to take 10 seconds just saying, hello, how are you today? The producers just really want to know who you are, what you can do for them, and send the rest in an email so that you've done a little bit of an audition on the show. You've showed that you can present under stress by simply making the phone call, which is very stressful. Try it sometime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing, too. It's not like a personal call, so you don't want to sound like a telemarketer either. When you say, hi, Maria, how are you today?
Right.
And then
come on now. I've got a million things to do. Who are you and what do you want?
Exactly. I mean, you want to respect their time.
Of course.
That's the main thing.
So
the
we're going to recommend.
Is,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the other thing is when we talk about having a 30-second pitch in front of you, what's exactly you're going to say?
Good.
Oh, they might have time. They might say, "Wow, actually, this is great, and I want to know more about this." So have your notes in front of you, information on any facts on your topic, statistics, resources, names of organizations you might reference. Just the specifics, the details. They shouldn't ask a question and you say, "Oh, I have that somewhere."
Who was that who said that again? I know it was somebody important. I can't remember who or when or why or what. By that time, your credibility is out the window. Remember, you've got to be able to source all statistics that you will be presenting to the publisher. For instance, 38%, of all women are wealthy. Well, where did you get that statistic and who conducted the study? They're going to want to know.
And if you don't have it in front of you, do not say it. Because the producer will hold you to that. She'll say, you said 38%, and you say, you look in your notes, and it was really
89% of women are wealthy.
Something totally different.
Right.
And that just reflects badly on you.
It reflects badly on you because they can't trust your information. So really, it's really always, always be accurate.
Right.
Right? Because
absolutely.
You never, right. Trust builds more trust, but then that lack of trust factor is damaging.
Absolutely, and you want to put your best foot forward when you're talking about it. If they say, "What experience do you have?" I would never say, "I don't have any." Whatever experience you have, that's what it is. So even if you have no TV experience, then you can say, "I have done dozens of radio interviews," or "I have spoken to 10 different major corporations within the last year." Or I've reached 1,200 people through my speaking.
Sure. That's the time to pull out your platform, okay?
Exactly.
And start proving that you are indeed an expert. You may not have actual TV experience, but we would recommend that you actually have media training so it's not your first time.
Right.
Maria, what can happen to somebody who's like suddenly on TV for the first time?
Well,
in terms of life,
it's just anything.
Anything.
It's
a trip over the cord.
Yeah.
Because you're not quite sure where it is. You're looking at other places. What about that deer in the headlights look? You want to work these things out of your presentation style early.
Absolutely, absolutely. You just, you know, with the lights, the cameras, talking to a host that you've seen before on TV but have never met before.
Sure.
They're new things. You can't expect that you're going to be great at it. And maybe you will.
Yeah,
maybe you are the natural and you are just going to fly through it and fabulous, and that's what you should believe about yourself, but be prepared. Don't just say, oh, I'll be fine.
Right, exactly. So definitely media training is a must. Find someone in your local area that's been referred to you by someone else who had a great experience with that person. Go over your exact segment. Now, I'll give you a media training tip. If you're booked on a show, of course you want to know who your media trainer is in advance of getting booked on the show, but let's say you're booked and you're going to appear next Thursday. The time to do your media training is maybe Monday, Tuesday, or even Wednesday if there's no threat of weather, because you're going to run through your segment. You're going to be totally prepared and like really up on your segment, up on your talking points, and ready to go. You ever go from a practice session, rest up, and then go in for the test or when you study, that kind of thing? You are so ready. It's at your fingertips. You know the information. You know the sound bites. You're ready to go.
Right.
That's what we want to create, that kind of scenario. I wouldn't do a speaker-type training if you're going to train for TV. You want to train for sound bite answers that answer the host question, the most likely asked question, and also allow you to make a point that you feel is important to you.
Right. And here's the other thing with that. I was talking to a client of ours yesterday who said she's booked on a really big news show and had her talking points all together, had gone over them, had them down, got to the station, and they totally changed everything up on her. You know, the first question that was asked was something totally different.
Yeah.
And she had to go with it. So, you know, be prepared, but also be prepared that things that might change. Be prepared that the host might say, oh, that's an interesting point. That reminds me of this that you had never thought about. So just be able to feel confident enough in your area of expertise, confident enough in your background, your style, everything about you, that you can have a conversation with this host or with this interviewer, and even if it doesn't go exactly how you had prepared for it to go.
Oh, true, absolutely. Sometimes the pre-interview will act as a backdrop for the segment, because what the producer is doing is trying to develop the segment. This brings us to having a professionally prepared segment idea to get the edge, and that's really important that you work with a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially someone like Maria, who with previous producer experience can build a dynamite segment idea for a producer, because this way you're going in really prepared. Let's say you are pitching yourself to the media and you want to sound professional, not like a novice stumbling, as we said earlier, because even though you might be very eloquent and able to present beautifully, if you don't know your topic, you may sound unsure, you may sound unprofessional, which is not fair to you.
Right. And here's the other thing, too, about that, is that somebody who does this for a living knows how to prepare a segment that showcases your best attributes, what you can talk about the most. So if you, there's some people who, they know a friend of a friend, or somehow they get, they book themselves or get themselves booked on a local TV program, but it's not really about their best thing that they can talk about. And it just is the producer comes up with the segment,
right.
Inserts the guest into it, and it's local TV and it's great. Any exposure is great, but you could have probably gotten more out of that if the producer had a segment that was already developed based on what you can talk about.
Sure, and absolutely. I like to say it like this, is that there's too many authors and experts trying to get through a keyhole of opportunity.
Mm.
So a professionally prepared segment idea, pitch idea, presentation to the media outlet will really place you way ahead of the others who also want to get on the show as well.
Exactly.
So it's really important to have professionally prepared materials and work with a professional to get on these shows. We are going to be back with more, though. We have lots more podcasts coming for you. We're going to cover all the aspects of getting booked on your local TV show or being booked on your first TV show, and also go into everything from media kits to online media kits to pre-interview tips to how to create an online media website. And you name it, we're going to cover it in this series. So I want to thank everyone. First of all, though, if you do, if you're interested in working with Maria and Annie Jennings PR, you can let us know using our form at anniejenningspr.com/localtv.htm. That's anniejenningspr.com/localtv.htm. Fill out that form, and Maria will be giving you a call, and you guys can talk about all the wonderful things she has in store for you. Maria, thanks again for a great teleseminar podcasting series. It's been great today.
Great. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Annie Jennings PR Book Publicity Podcast Series, and we'll see everyone next time.